A three-quarter moon rises over the parking lot of St. Joseph Church in Roanoke, our starting point for this pilgrimage to see Pope Francis. There is excitement and a bit of anxiety, too, as our travelers look ahead to the trip.
I probably won't see the Pope. I don't think I would be close enough. But just to be in the same city as he is, it just generates so much excitement for me.
That's Letitia Hill, the oldest member of our group, who is 78, the same age, she will proudly tell you, as Pope Francis. Kathy Bylow, the St. Joseph parishioner who organized the trip, hopes the country will see a different side of Catholicism.
A lot of people think the Catholic Church is about the Gold Dome cathedrals and, you know, and a lot of opulence. And this Pope reflects the opposite.
May the blessing of Almighty God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit descend upon you and remain with you forever.
As the 10 of us stand beside a van built for 12, now loaded down with our suitcases and snack bags, Monsignor Charles Beebe, pastor of St. Joseph, offers a blessing.
I will watch for you on television. I'll see if I see you.
Our group includes a 19-year-old student from Chicago's DePaul University traveling with her mother, also an insurance agent, an information technology specialist, two nurses, two teachers, and the ordained deacon of St. Joseph Church traveling with his wife. Most are lifelong Catholics, but two are converts, including Deacon Terry Stalsberg, who has a particular reason to be excited.
I'll be helping distribute communion on Sunday. I'll be able to participate in the Mass and just being a servant. You know, being a deacon is about serving others.
Our little group represents the challenge this Pope faces as he tries to minister to the vast tent known as the Catholic Church. Though church teaching condemns it, some in our group are divorced or have children who are divorced. The church opposes same-sex marriage and sex outside of marriage. One of the pilgrims is a woman who has been with her partner for 15 years. They are raising two foster children. Theirs is just the sort of non-traditional family the church increasingly is finding in the Sunday pews. And this group also illustrates vividly that Catholics do not represent a clearly defined voting bloc, nor do they walk in lockstep with their church's teaching. Mary Jo Roseman, a retired pediatric nurse and another of the pilgrims, bristles at being defined by any political label.
I am for social justice, for helping the poor, and I don't care how we do it, we need to do it. And if you're wealthy, you know, we need to be giving, and even us poor people need to be giving.
But ask her about same-sex marriage.
We have a sacrament of marriage, and that's between a man and a woman, because that is what works. Our bodies are designed physically to be with a man and a woman.
Still, she says she has taken to heart the Pope's famous response when he was asked about homosexuality early on in his papacy. He said, "Who am I to judge?"
I have no condemnation for them. That's between them and their maker. And I have family and friends who are gay. And I'm no better a person than they are, you know.
Before his trip to America, Francis also announced a streamlined process for granting annulments to Catholics who divorce and want to remarry. Divorced Catholics who remarry without a church annulment cannot currently receive communion. It is a heartache for many because Catholics believe communion, what they call the Eucharist, isn't just a symbol, but represents the real presence of Jesus Christ. Trent Mungi, who is married with two children and has never been divorced, says a change in that teaching might be overdue.
Communion is forefront in our faith. And whether a marriage ended, whatever that circumstance, I think communion is something that can help us through those things and not necessarily shun us.
Mungi teaches a catechism class for young adults. Many of them, he says, struggle to understand some church teachings. He tells them it is okay to question and says he tries to stress Pope Francis's message of mercy.
There are a number of things that I feel are a bit of a contradiction. You know, I've always been raised and told that my God is a loving, forgiving God, and at times I believe our faith doesn't necessarily portray that.
But there is agreement on one thing. Pope Francis has certainly adopted a different tone than the two previous popes, John Paul II and Benedict XVI.
To them, it was more based on our dogma of our faith and following that dogma. And if you didn't follow it, you weren't, I don't want to say welcomed, but that's how I felt.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou.
After some more prayers and 13 hours of sitting in our cramped van, we arrive at midday to sunny Philadelphia. We find our way to the two Airbnb houses parishioner Bylow has leased for our two-day stay. None of us have tickets for any of the formal events, and our only hope of seeing Francis will be along the parade routes that have been set up for the Popemobile. That night, Bylow meets with the group to discuss logistics.
I mean, I'm thinking, though, that some people will be there
camped overnight.
I mean, they are for Black Friday. They're camped out for days. For Chick-fil-A, they were camped out for days.
We rule out an all-night campout, but decide to set out before dawn for the parade route along Benjamin Franklin Parkway, singing as we wait for our Uber driver to arrive.
This is the day that the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice.
Let us rejoice.
Most streets downtown are closed, and we have to walk a dozen or so blocks even after the taxi drops us off. National Guardsmen in their combat fatigues are stationed on corners. Officers at security checkpoints empty and examine the contents of purses and backpacks. They confiscate apples, bananas, and tin water bottles, anything that can be turned into projectiles. Jumbo screens set up at various locations show the Pope celebrating a Mass at Saints Peter and Paul Cathedral. The makeup of the crowd along the parade route underscores the international character of Catholicism. On one side of us is a Guatemalan woman with her daughter, waving her country's flag. On the other side, a group of Chaldean Rite Catholics from Iraq. After standing for 12 straight hours on our windy corner, the Pope finally appears at 7:15 p.m. It's dark, but the Popemobile is lit up, and Francis gets a rock star's welcome from the crowd. In person, he appears younger, more vigorous than on TV. But our glimpse of him is short-lived indeed. We see mostly the back of his head as he looks in the opposite direction passing by. But for these pilgrims, it's all they can talk about the next morning at breakfast.
He's probably so much like Christ's Pope that we've ever seen. I mean, he is like Christ, period. You know, he doesn't care who you are, what you are. He's there for you.
That's retired nurse Diane Wheelwright. And here's retired teacher Mary Husick.
We didn't even see the Pope's face after 12 hours plus of waiting. But it was great to see him. And it gives you a chill to think that you're that close to that man.
Banker Marlene Campin took away an important message from that brief encounter with the man known as the People's Pope.
If we would just all use our power with the numbers that we have, that we could really do a lot of good things, so if we could be very powerful if we would work together for the good of man.
Francis has changed nothing of church doctrine so far. But Susan Crumrine, who is raising two foster children with her partner, says she understands why some Catholics feel uncomfortable with the kinder, gentler tone he has adopted on some matters like homosexuality, divorce, and abortion.
I don't know if people feel like it's threatening our faith, but actually I think it's preserving our faith. The message of Christ is he loves us, period. He loves us.
The culmination of the Pope's visit to Philadelphia is an outdoor mass on the wide mall in front of the Philadelphia Museum of Art, whose steps Sylvester Stallone triumphantly scaled in a famous scene from the film Rocky. The mass is a ticketed event, and our group is not among the 250,000 invited guests. But we watch it with thousands of others on a public jumbo screen set up in front of City Hall. At the Mass, the Pope offers one of his most personal messages, encouraging all to practice what he calls, quote, small gestures of tenderness and compassion every day. The Lord's Prayer, then the sign of peace, offers an emotional moment as the pilgrims clasp hands and hug each other. Then Francis says farewell with what has become one of his signature lines.
Pray for me. Don't forget.
Pray for me, he says. Then he wags a finger like a kindly grandfather and adds, don't forget. Deacon Terry Stalsberg handed out communion on the mall near where the Pope celebrated Mass. Stalsberg brought communion for the members of our group, which they received at an impromptu communion service in the parking lot of a Sunoco gas station on the way home from Philadelphia.
Behold him who takes away the sins of the world.
Letitia Hill, the elder of the group, seemed to sum up the general feeling in a prayer she offered on the drive home.
The friendships that we have formed during this weekend, I will never forget them. Lord, thank you so much for making us a gift to each other.
In one of his final talks, the Pope challenged American Catholics to ask themselves, what can I do for those most forgotten by society? It is a challenge these pilgrims from Central Illinois say they are ready to take up. I'm Judy Valente, WGLT News.